Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Urolo Bylaws Task Force taking place on Wednesday, the 27th of April, 2016 at 20 UTC.
Yes, John.
The calls today, we have Jean-Jacques Subernat, Olivia Crepin-Mavlon, Wolf Ludwig, Mikhail Medrish, Roberto Gattano, and Oksana Prihodiko. I show no listed apologies for today's meeting. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. Olivier Crepin-Mavlon speaking. Have we missed anybody in our roll call? No? Okay, so everybody's here. Welcome, everyone. The second question I need to ask you is whether you can hear me well. The microphone is right under my chin, so it should be okay.
Okay, for the moment.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Wolf. So we have an agenda today going through our revision of the bylaws, and the suggestion was to just pick up where we left off last week. The problem we had last week, of course, was that we were working on the wrong version of the bylaws. Now we have a more full version of the bylaws. My hope was that we would be able to look at the specific parts of, parts of point A and point B from Michael Medrish's review. And the parts A and B are the first one is to do with the Euro Individuals Association, and B is to do with the governing bodies, Eurado officers, and their functions that do not correspond to the real life. So the idea is to try and go through these two points. Any amendments to the agenda at this stage? No amendments? Okay. So let's then move on. First, we have to look at the review of the action items. Okay, well, actually, it's strange. So brief reminder of the process. Well, I think everyone was on the call last week. Maybe a couple of people were not. So what we're going to do, basically, is to follow the list of tasks that we have to do on this, starting with mapping out the differences between the bylaws as drafted and how Urolo actually work. And Michael has actually done this, so the first thing has been pretty much done. Then the task force will revert back to Urolo ALIS with the results. So what we're now basically doing is to look at the difference between how the bylaws are drafted, how Urolo actually works, and to present some recommendations over to the Urolo ALSs on this. It says here, in order not to reinvent the wheel, many information sources will need to be accessible on the task force's page, and this is where we have all of the documents. And it also mentions that we have to define what Urolo wants to do at that point, and then check if this is possible, and then move forward and see whether the bylaws should be revised or not, or what revisions there should be in there. That's the overall process, as we can see here. I think I need to spend some time rereading this process because the sentences don't make sense. Maybe it's me at this time of the evening, I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to the review of the action items from last week. Last week's call, we had several action items. The first one was for Michael to share with the mailing list his suggestions regarding the Urolo Individual Association. And in there it said that the Urolo Individual Association is not included in the bylaws. The current laws only show one kind of members, and that's the ELSs. That, of course, was based on the wrong bylaws that we were looking at. So we'll look at this again today. The next thing was, next call we'll focus on the Urolo Individual Association and its bylaws. Depending on the progress, the review will continue to governing bodies. Okay, that's what we're doing, basically. And the third one was Yasim to send the doodle. So I could say that the action items are dealt with. We can go straight into the item A which is effectively the Euro Individuals Association, established in 2012. And as Michael's review showed, still not institutionalized in the Uralo bylaw. So the document that I'm basically looking at is the document under 4B, Uralo Bylaws Review. And, yeah, so we can briefly look at this. Yeah, so there we go. So Uralo Bylaws Review. So it says here, the paragraph 3 of the statutes, Euro Individuals Association, says that financial resources, in order to fulfill its role of the framework, Euro Individuals Association can count on resources in capacity of Euralo, such as the Secretariat, and does not need financial resources or administrative facilities. There are no corresponding obligations in the Euralo's bylaws. This raises the problem of the resources used. And it doesn't show any of this. So if we turn, let's then flip to the bylaw and see what we now have. In the paragraph, I believe it is 3D or something. Let's have a look. Sorry, it just takes a little time for me to open this up. Just when you need it, your internet slows down. Okay, so paragraph 3 is, paragraph 4, here we go. Membership, part D, membership 4. In 4.6, it says a new European ALS will be created to collect unaffiliated individuals from the region. This ALS would be part of the existing Uralo structure and would need to fulfill the minimum ALS requirements according to the ALS formation framework. We've got a link to the framework and also ICANN bylaws, and we've got a link to the bylaws. Once it is an integral part of the Uralo structure, this ALS would have the same rights and responsibilities as any other regional ALS. I open the floor now. I wondered, because this was done under Wolf's leadership, if Wolf could say a few words as to why this is written in that way. And then what I'd like to hear from Michael then is if this is satisfactory, and we'll start a discussion then at that point from this point onwards. And then I'll get Jean-Jacques Subrenat after that. So first, Wolf Ludwig, please.
Okay. Thanks for the floor, Olivier. It's Wolf Ludwig speaking for the records. This formulation is the result of a month-long discussion we had at Uralo at the time, what started in 2010, and to do any bylaw changes or amendments, it was clear from the beginning that we had to convince a vast majority of our community at the time, and many of our ALSs were not in favor of doing any changes at all. This was more or less a starting point. When we discussed the details, whether it should be wishful or useful to better include individual members and to give them fair chances for participation at Uralo, some of the members, then said, okay, if we do this, then let's discuss about modalities, how we can do this. And then we came up with different scenarios. I have explained this, by the way, last week in the mailing list of the task force. We he came up with different scenarios and options, and finally, after long discussions again at the monthly calls, he came up with a conclusion or with a sort of a compromise that the former option B would be most likely the most acceptable. And the option B at the time was that the Uralo individuals would have to create their own ALS, and like a usual at large structure, to become a regular member of our community. And it was also more or less clear and part of the compromise at the time that this ALS should not have any special privilege or special status, a special role, once they would create, the individuals organizing themselves would create their ALS. They would apply by the ordinary process, by the regular process, to become a certified at large structure, and that was finally when the bylaws were drafted and the bylaws, their bylaws were accomplished. It was Roberto at the time who pushed this process by applying via at large staff, etc., and that's the way they became certified as any other ALSs. And the formulation we now have on the modified bylaws in Article 4.6 is reflecting the compromise under which the bylaws could be amended in the voting process we conducted in spring 2011, a couple of weeks prior to the Belgrade General Assembly. These are, again, some recapitulations to make it clear why this formulation 4.6 was done in such a brief manner and more or less reflecting the results of a month-long discussion among the members. Thanks.
Wolf, it's Olivier speaking. Was there any opposition to this ALS having any special position?
Yes, of course, there would have been. There was always, from the very beginning, when Uralo was, before Uralo was created, in the process when we drafted the Uralo bylaws, there were a couple of members, when we talked about individual members who are not a part of an existing at large structure, there was a strong feeling or fear of a potential capture if some hyperactive individuals by their special activities and by their knowledge, etc., would somehow bypass regular ALSs, and for this fear of capture, in the original Uralo bylaws, they didn't have the same status as an ordinary ALS. But then after, while we found out that this is unfair, and then we had to discuss modalities, how in which way how to include them. And while discussing these modalities or scenarios, it was the only way what we could compromise with those members who were not really enthusiastic about the idea. We had to find a way and a compromise, which was extremely difficult and time-taking at the time. How we could include such individuals, and this, the outcome was the option B, but understood they should not have any sort of special status, because already the mentioning something like a special status would have completely destroyed the process, and we would not have got a two-third majority under the condition or under the prohibition that this new ALS organizing individuals would have a special status. Therefore, the special the term itself, special status, was a point of objection and confusion at the time.
Okay, thanks, Rolf.
Let's move
on. Thank you very much. It's Olivier speaking. Let's get over then to Michael Medrish, because, of course, we didn't have this 4.6 in front of our eyes last week, and I'd like to hear now from Michael as to what his points are on this, and, you know, what do you suggest doing with this, and whether this is satisfactory or not. Michael, you have the floor.
Me?
Yeah, we can hear
hello.
You. Go ahead.
I listen to me?
Yes, hello. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. It's Michael Medrish. Thank you, Olivier, for the floor. First of all, I would like to say that I agree that it might be new ALS for individual users, because as it is now,
is Michael breaking up, or have we lost Michael?
It looks like we lost Michael. Olivier.
We have lost Michael. Okay. I think that Michael is calling through the Adobe Connect. Perhaps it would be better if he was dialed out to or something, because the internet in the evening sometimes is a little unstable. Let's just, for the time being. Yeah, we can't hear him. For the time being, let's go to... Oh, he's even lost... He's fallen off the Adobe Connect now. Ouch. Which is a bit of a problem. It obviously is an internet problem. Let's have Jean-Jacques Supranat. And Michael,
thank
welcome
you,
back. We had lost you, Michael, if you can hear us. Let's try and see if you can arrange with staff that staff gives you the dialogue.
I restarted. I restart.
Or is that better?
Is it okay? No?
Yeah, okay. So, okay, let's try again with Michael one more time. If not, we'll have to call you by on your phone.
The phone, okay, is not good. Okay, point B is okay for me. I agree with ILS, so no problems with this. I not agree with that it must be not no privileges. No privileges, but it's necessary to mention that we have special ALS.
Breaking up again. We lost you again, Michael. So all we heard was that you think that needs to be some special. This is going to be a hard call if we have these technical problems. And he's dropped off again.
Okay, let's go over to Jean-Jacques Subrenat, please, for the time being.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, Jean-Jacques.
Good. Good evening, good day all. I have a few remarks. Having looked at the work by Urallo over the past few weeks, especially, I have actually mainly two remarks. I'm struck by the fact that in the discussions which Wolf referred to, and thank you again, Wolf, for the very precious reminder of what went on over years, I find that the term special status, and even more, the notion of privilege or privileges, is a misnomer. I think that those who initiated this idea, mainly Roberto, was certainly not looking for any special status or special privilege. So I actually think that whoever brought up the idea of using the term special status or privilege in the past discussions perhaps did not use the most appropriate term. The only speciality, as it were, of the association of which I'm the chair of the board is that it has no country specificity. It is open to either residents or citizens of a European country. But that is the only distinctive feature. So rather than special status, I would say distinctive feature. So that was my first point. The second point is a wider point about law. And as you know, in law, in most countries, there is the notion of acquired rights and also the notion of fairness. Now, I appeal to you on it because I note that the Urallo Individual Users Association was approved as an ALS. It was certified. That's something which is a very strong positive point. And the second point in this argument is that at the Urallo Annual General Meeting in Dublin in 2015, Roberto, on behalf of the Association of Individual Users and a bit myself, we presented the association which was created that same day. And the election was held at the same time. So the problem is that seen from the outside today, it seems that one of the choices or one of the alternatives would be to shut down the Individual Users Association on the grounds that something was not properly reflected in the bylaws. But from the point of view of acquired rights and fairness, I would argue that the only way forward is actually, if necessary, if absolutely necessary, to change the bylaws, but not certainly to discontinue an ALS which has already been approved and certified by the ICANN bodies. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier Capanablo speaking. I don't think that there was any intent by anyone, or it hasn't even been mentioned, that one should discontinue the ALS that has been created to collect unaffiliated individuals from the region. Quite the contrary, this is actually something that we have to do. We need to keep that ALS, and we need to cater for individual users, as this was part of the ALAC review, part of various different pieces of work that took place in reviewing how the at-large community works. But going back to this, just this clause, 4.6, my feeling, and I'll share my feeling on this, is that it does need to be revised in the way that at the moment it says a new European ALS will be created to collect unaffiliated individuals from the region. Well, that has been created. So we should have to change this to have been created to collect individual unaffiliated individuals from the region. And so there's a number of things here which say, well, these are the things that need to happen. And it actually also has some links to the at-large website and links to the ICANN website, which are very likely to not work anymore. And I would actually suggest that we don't put any links in bylaws because, as we know, websites change and so on. So this needs to be cleaned up effectively. And we then need to come up to this discussion as to, I understand certainly the opposition for this ALS to not have any special privileges. In other words, it has the same voting privilege as any other ALS. It just has one vote, and it follows the whole thing of what ALSs do. However, we do need to, I think, maybe put that there are, I think, two differences, though, between this ALS and others. The first one is that this one is non-geographical, so it covers all of Europe. That needs to be put somewhere. And secondly, that the there might be some provisions for this ALS to obtain funding from ICANN in a certain way or other, as this is something that is... But I'm not sure how that can be worded yet. These are sort of my feelings as to this. But certainly no special rights as far as decisions or voting is concerned. Michael, let's try you again, please.
I will try. First of all, I absolutely agree to exclude URLs because you're absolutely right. It can be changed. It's not changed by law because of this. Second, I absolutely agree to write has created, and that's all. And I would like you to think about to add one phrase that information about this ALS must be clearly created on the first page of your ALA website to show all individuals the way to take part in the URALA as a bylaw requirement. It is so now, but I suppose it will be useful to have such phrase in bylaw. So to add the necessity to have information about this ILS on the first page of URALA website. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Michael. Now we heard you a lot better, so it's much nicer to have you there. Now, I saw earlier Roberto Gaetano had put his hand up. Roberto, did you wish to add anything?
Yes, this is Roberto. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that when I was working on the creation of the organization, I was well aware of the difficulties and on the thin line that we had to follow. So we were particularly careful in building the association in a way that it could comply with all the requirements for an ALS. We have only one exception, which is that the rule of URALO, and I think in general for ALAC, for the ALS, is that they have to be financially independent and not require any support from ICANN. This is by and large true in the sense that we are, through voluntary contributions, we are funding the website, the domain name, and everything. However, as Jean-Jacques has hinted, we had a General Assembly in Dublin, and at that point in time I needed help from ALAC staff for instance, to reserve a room or these kind of things that are not a financial provision for our organization. We are financially independent. But in order to support also the advertisement of our activities, we need to link with ICANN staff, for instance, for having a meeting space when we have a meeting in Europe, and I'm in contact with Jean-Jacques Sahel for exchange of information on European activities and so on. So this is something that, in my opinion, is not in contradiction of with the bylaws. But if we want to make sure that this is not in contradiction, since we are revising this, I think that I would like to have a situation by which this is not going to become a problem in the future that somebody can raise because I don't know, we get a one-hour meeting room in the framework of the Euralo meeting rooms when we have an ICANN meeting in Europe or such kind of thing. That's all.
Okay, thanks for this, Roberto. That's very helpful. Now, I'm also reading the chat, and I note that Jean-Jacques mentioned that he preferred to suggest not specific to one European country. But I note that Wolf said that the geographical question is an issue for the Euralo independent bylaws, but not as a specification for the Euralo bylaws. Could you expand on this, please, Wolf? You might be muted. Okay, everyone is writing at the moment. We can't hear you both.
Yes, but I'm still here.
Ah, you are here. Okay. Yeah, you mentioned on the chat that you thought that you felt that the geographical question was an issue for the Euralo individual bylaws, but not a specification for the Euralo bylaws. And I asked whether you could please expand on this.
Yes.
Why not for the Euralo bylaws?
Well, following the logic what I explained before, if we would have specified any special considerations for the Euralo individuals, it would have created another problem or handicap for the Euralo bylaws amendment at all as such. Therefore, the logic was, okay, we need to specify once the group of individuals will be organized and draft their own bylaws, then in their bylaws they have to point out to this special particularity that unlike other usual Euralo ALSs, this particular ALS of the individuals is not based in a single European country, but is more or less a cross-European entity. This was the most elegant way to avoid further confusions, and therefore it's logic that you point out this particularity in the bylaws of the association itself, but not in the bylaws of Uralo. This is a more or less a logical consequence from the discussion process and the compromise we had before. And the other points Roberto mentioned, what we also discussed, that some or most of the individuals will meet from time to time during regular ICANN meetings, and they may wish to organize a side meeting for themselves to discuss their issues. So this is a practical, logistical question, which is also not needed to be specified in the bylaws. If you just, for, in my opinion, an absurd example, then you could amend the Uralo bylaws as the Uralo Individuals Association has a right to have a meeting at each ICANN meeting. All other Uralo ALSs on request would have the same rights. This makes no sense if you think it to the consequences. Therefore, you do not regulate such practical issues in bylaws. This is an operational question, and this we did in the past, and this we can do.
Okay, thanks both. Michael, you have the floor.
Possibility to individual non-affiliated users, non-affiliated persons from Europe.
Sorry, Michael, to interrupt you. You're going to have to restart your sentence because I think we started hearing you only halfway through your sentence.
Okay. It's our ability to give a possibility to unaffiliated individuals from Europe to take part in the process, in ICANN process, at large ICANN process. It's our ability. We were thinking about it and decided and make a choice and voted that the best way is to move in the direction of an organization of ALS, special ALS, cross-border for individuals cross all over Europe. And I suppose it is necessary to move this logic further. If it is so, if it is our ability, it is also our ability to help this ALS, because it's special ALS. It's not legal entity from the very beginning aside of ICANN. It is organized specially to be in ICANN as a collection, as a mechanism to collect individuals. So we are to help this mechanism to be healthy, wealthy. So we are not to give them money, but to help them in some organizational processes. I agree with Roberto that we are to help them in Adobe Room and maybe something else of such kind, but it's resources, it's money. It's money in any case. It can be not, it's not pure logistic. It's money, it's resources. So we are to mention this in bylaw. And 5 years ago, maybe a lot of ILSs were against this, but 5 years passed. Maybe today it will be not so. Wolf, you are saying that it is very hard to move this idea through the Uralo ALSs. I suppose not. I suppose we are to explain, and maybe all ILSs will agree. Why not? It is necessary only to try. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. It's Olivia speaking, and let's turn over to Wolf. Wolf Ludwig.
Just a short, it's Wolf Ludwig for the record. Just a short reply on the last assessment by Michael, that I'm always describing the feelings among our ALSs from the past. You can believe me, in the last couple of years, just inherited with my function, I had regular and intensive discussions with many of our members. And the last opportunity I met many of our members was during the Dublin ICANN meeting when we had our General Assemblies. And there again, I had I got the impression, I can tell you honestly, we have around 10 member ALSs in Germany. And for any demanding bylaw amendments, you would not get support from their side, but practically or simply means if only the number of German ALSs will abstain or object to any further going bylaw amendments, you will never get a two-third majority. It's a simple mathematical calculation. And it's not because I'm in any way an anachronist or a person who likes to always refer to the past. It still reflects the sentiments and feelings of many of our members. And when I discussed with members in Dublin, many of them said, sorry, we do not see any necessity for such bylaws discussions. For them, it was a waste of time. It's a quote from October last year and not from 2011. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Wolf. It's Olivia speaking. I want to sort of step out of the whole overall discussion whether the bylaws need to be changed or not changed or whether it's going to pass or not pass. I see Michael had put his hand up. I can give you the floor, Michael, for one last thing, and then I was going to make a proposal.
Okay, very, very brief. Wolf, I understand you, but if you try to calculate, as I can imagine, we have more than 30 ILSs. More than 30 minus 10, more than two-thirds. So, and you say just you are commander of all German ILSs. Maybe it is not. Maybe they are not, all of them will gain against. So, in my opinion is we are moving in this direction, and our ability to give a possibility to individuals all over Europe to be in ICANN process and at large. So we are to help this ILS. It's not non-commercials. It's non-commercial for some reasons. It's special ILS, special aid for this purpose. As I can imagine, maybe I'm not right. If it is so, we are to help them with some special activities, which is necessary. So it's not bad.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Michael. Now, I'm going to suggest then the following text and see how that flies around with everyone. I'm going to paste it in the chat one line at a time or one paragraph at a time. The first one, so it's 4.6a. The new European ALS has been created to offer a home to unaffiliated individuals from the region. This ALS is part of the existing Euralo structure and needed to fulfill the minimum ALS requirements according to the ALS formation framework and ICANN bylaws. That's effectively saying the same thing as what we have at the moment, but putting it into the present rather than saying this needs to be created in the future. And the next line, B, is this. The ACLS has the same rights and responsibilities as any other regional ALS. And then third one is C. This ALS is not specific to one European country and is hence a cross-European entity. And D, I think that needs to be said, only one such ALS can be created. We don't want competing ALSs that are there to offer a home for unaffiliated individuals. And E, information about this ALS needs to be displayed on the first page of the Urala website. And by the way, E, I think we might not need to put there. I know that Michael is asking for this to be there, but I'm not totally convinced that it needs to be there. I don't think it's something that would be kill the deal. But there might be some people that decide to object to this because they say, well, why is the one for individuals on the first page of the Urala website when our own at-large structure is not on the first page of the Urala website? And I can understand the thinking behind that. So I'd like to get some feedback on this, how you feel about this, and whether this satisfies or at least eases Michael's concerns, and whether this is something, and Wolf, I'd like to hear you specifically, since you are our memory in this, whether this might be something that will fly. And also, of course, from Jean-Jacques and from Roberto, to see if they're happy with this. I can see that Jean-Jacques is saying agreed on all except E. So that seems to be fine with Jean-Jacques Sebrenat. Now is the rest of it, basically. Yeah, I see from Wolf, so not E, because otherwise the other ALSs will request the same right of highlighting on the website. Michael, what do you think about it?
I'm not insist because if your individuals are not insist, okay, it's their choice, no problems. I not insist.
What about the rest of the proposal? A, B, C, and D.
I agree.
Okay, so I'm not seeing anyone object then to A, B, C, and D. So if staff, I don't know who's taking the action items or the notes. If you could put A, B, C, D, yes. And, well, also do put down E, but please write down that there was objections to E being there. And so we would probably have A, B, C, D. The way that we can then propose it to Uralo ALSs then is to propose it with A, B, C, D, and E, and always say that we're ready to take E away as there were objections.
Olivier,
I see Jean-Jacques Sebrenat, and then Olivier, Michael Metrich.
Olivier,
yes?
Just a short point. It provokes unnecessary discussions if you include E.
Okay, so take E out then, you
so
think, when we propose it.
It's technically wrong to make a proposal where you can assume that there will be broader resistance from other members. Like I pointed out, otherwise ordinary ALS may request the same light of being highlighted on the website. So take E out, not to mislead any discussions. Concentrate on the essentials A, B, C, D, and try to carry it on and convince a vast majority of our members.
Okay. Thanks, Wolf. We have a queue now. Jean-Jacques Sebrenat, I think.
Yes, Olivier, thank you. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. So, Olivier, whilst listening to your presentation, I was agreeing with everything, and also I agree with Wolf that we should take away E. I see that has been done. But just I had the idea that under B, it might be useful to add the data regarding the certification of this ALS, because the reader of this text may wonder if perhaps someone had omitted asking for the certification, or indeed for ICANN to grant it. So I would ask staff to kindly dig up the references and perhaps just say in the briefest possible way that this ALS was certified. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Jean-Jacques, I lost your last sentence that you said, and say in the most appropriate way that...
thank you, Olivier, this is Jean-Jacques. To say in the briefest possible way that this ALS was certified, and add the date and the reference. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So that's the proposal. Any are there any objections to this? Perhaps mention it in brackets, says Wolf. Okay, that's a good idea then. Under B, that they say this was certified, staff ID number. Okay, thank you. Michael Medrish.
Solution to exclude information about your individuals on the first page of our website today exists.
Yeah, there already is. Yeah, exactly. But thank you. It's Olivia speaking. So there already is, but I guess that if we put it in the bylaws, some people will go, hang on, why is this on the first page? Why is our ALS not on the first page? Well, if we don't put it in the bylaws, they won't notice that it's on the first page. I think that's what, you know, not wanting to wake up a sleeping dragon is what Wolf was trying to say, basically. It's a funny world, and it's all about consensus and trying to find this thing of having balance, basically. So, okay. All right. Well, so that's one thing. We have another 5 minutes until the end of this call. I wanted to perhaps look and seeing if we're okay with this, then the first point that Michael has made, the Uralo Individuals Association, and if everyone's fine with this proposal, then the next thing we're going to have to work on is the governing bodies, the Uralo officers and their functions that do not correspond to the real life. And we've got Uralo chair, we've got the articles of association that say there's a chair, there's a deputy chairman, there is a statute for a secretary, there is a position of a treasurer, and there is a position for an advisory council. And none of these have existed according to Michael's review, and we will have to discuss, I guess now in our next call, since we only have 4 minutes on this call, we will have to then start thinking and discussing as to, I would say, why those positions are there, why they are not filled as at the moment, why they don't reflect the current structure of Uralo, whether we wish to change the structure, the current structure of Uralo to reflect what's in the bylaws, or whether we want to align the bylaws to what we're doing in the real life. So I see that Wolf Ludwig has put his hand up, so Wolf, you have the floor.
Yes, thanks, Olivier. It's Wolf Ludwig for the records. I agree on your last suggestion that some of the functional aspects like roles of officers, etc., role of the board, this has to be looked at in our next meeting. I just want to note for the records here, when we drafted the Uralo bylaws in 2006. I was from the beginning against putting point E, part E, financial matters of it, because I was already convinced at the time it would be sort of wishful thinking. That's a typical German approach, and by the way, it was a German bunch who pushed this part E into the bylaws. It was practically never made any sense, and my very pragmatic suggestion would be just before longly taking time and discuss about the necessity of something what never happened and what will never happen, in my opinion, in the future. My practical suggestion would be simply to drop the whole part E.
Okay, well, thank you. It's Olivier speaking. So E is funds of the association, financial matters. We haven't reached that point yet. I don't think we're looking at this yet, but let's put this on the side and record this, because I'm sure we will be touching on this at some point. And my suggestion when I was reading this was actually we could keep this open as an open door and say, funds of the association, and we would say, you know, if there was a need for it, or if there was a, I haven't even thought about wording for that, but, you know, put this as a conditional thing and saying, well, you know, there is the option of, if the association had funds, there is the upper, thing of being like this. But if there isn't, then this paragraph is to be ignored or something like that. I don't have the exact wording for it. Michael?
Some very brief about funds. I suppose it is necessary before we will discuss this point to look at the operational principles of our neighbors for other relevers. Only to mention what they are thinking about it. I suppose it will be useful. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Michael. It's Olivier speaking. Let's take this as an action item. Let me say, so I'll take this up, and I'll ask all four other RALOs about what their, you know, what they have in this kind of matters. So as far as financial matters are concerned, and as far as their structure is concerned. Michael?
I have all operational principles of all RALOs just today to Sylvia. Sylvia will distribute it. It will be faster, and after that it can be possible to ask someone from other RALOs to give details.
Okay, thanks. Let's. And I guess you'll be sending this to our mailing list immediately afterwards.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. We have run out of time on today's call, but we have made some progress. I'm quite pleased to hear and to see. And we've also noted Wolf's point on being able to perhaps get rid of or shorten our bylaws by getting rid of the financial matters part. Next week, I suggest we have our call next week, we will be looking at the bodies of the association. We will be starting specifically at the officers, and I think that this is part number 8 point. Which part is it now?
I don't even have it there.
It's part F, starting with 8, bodies of association.
That's it, yes, correct. So we'll work on that, and will we be starting and seeing what we do. with the different positions that are there, and going from line to line. In any case, we will have a doodle sent out to schedule a call next week. I'm going to be at the WISIS forum next week, so with limited availability, but I will try my best. Certainly in the evening it would be possible for me to run the call, or even in some of the afternoons. I'll follow up with staff, and I hope that you all have the ability to be on the call at a suitable time. We're not a huge group, so hopefully it's not too difficult to find a good time. Gisela will coordinate to try and find something. Okay, I think that's all. Thank you very much for all of this. I'll follow up with staff on any action items. And please continue the discussions on the mailing list if you wish to. I think this was a good call, and I thank you all for attending. I know it's very late in some of the places that you are calling from, so have a very good night. Thank you, and this call is adjourned.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines, and have a wonderful rest of your day.